This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
Guys, feeling all the feels? Because I think I'm feeling all the feels. Hey there, Rooster Teeth fans. Welcome back to another episode of the Rooster Teeth Review Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we are talking about Ruby Volume 6, Episode 9, Lost. We're going to be breaking down the episode, and guys, it's going to be a good time, and we're going to do our best not to cry. So stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
So, I feel like it's fair to say that maybe I cried a little bit with this episode. It feels inappropriate to have the light show.
Oh, no. I love the light show. This makes me very happy.
At least we're not dabbing. Hey there, Rooster Teeth fans. Welcome back to the Rooster Teeth Review Show. Guys, we are talking about Ruby this week. Let's not waste any time. Let me introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Mark Donica.
Okay, let me get some of the tears from my eyes.
Oh, no! Not the dab!
Yeah. Hi, it's me.
To his left, Stacey Shuttleworth.
Well, I can't follow that up. I'm not dabbing.
To her left, Katie Cullen.
Oh, Mark, you stole my joke.
You both should be ashamed.
I regret nothing.
And I'm Megan Salinas. Guys, we are going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag RTReviews. Katie and friends, have you covered on the live chat?
We're all friends!
So, just before we get the ball rolling, as always, we are adhering to community guidelines as set out by Rooster Teeth, which means we are only talking about this episode, no spoilers. So please be courteous to people who have to adhere to the public release schedule. No spoilers for next week. We don't want them in the live chat. We don't want them in the comments. We don't want them. So keep them to yourself. We'll talk about it soon. All right. Now that that's out of the way, hi, how are we all feeling after this episode? Mark, how's yous?
I watched this episode 3 times on the first day. And, I was like, oh, this is probably a really important episode. So I watched it and went, oh, no. And then I was like, oh, we're going over to Robbie and Stacey's tonight. We should probably watch it because they're probably going to want to talk about it. So we watched it. And then we came over and they were like, oh, we haven't watched it. I was like, well, then we're staying until you watch the bloody episode. And, yeah, it was quite the whirlwind of emotions.
Stacey, you want to talk about those whirlwind emotions?
Usually things get better, like, the more you watch it. I just cry more every time. It's getting worse.
I'm loving that dab the tears away is the hashtag in the chat right now. I appreciate all of you, and also that might be our next shirt.
Dab the tears away.
It started on Nomad with Molly, and it just keeps on going.
Look at all the regrets none of us have. Yeah, we definitely cried the first time watching it. There's video proof of that. But then I kind of forgot that most of this episode existed, so rewatching it tonight was like, oh yeah, there was also this conversation, and this other thing, and this, okay, yeah, it was more than just complete, utter emotional devastation, and also Oscar's new threads.
Boy cleans up good.
He
makeover, 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 makeover.
Still a boy. really quick, internet. Still a boy.
Still a boy.
He is a boy. Regardless of the infernal spirit inhabiting his brain, still a boy.
Still a boy. Still a boy.
Hashtag still a boy.
Which is why we need to get that old man out. Anyway, for me, I was actually afraid that the emotional impact of this episode was going to be diminished because I kind of got spoiled on social media. You know, it was nobody's fault.
Same.
It just happens. Even being spoiled for it, I cried. And then every time I've watched it since, I've cried at the exact same part every single time.
May I ask a question of the team?
Yes.
Sorry. To hijack. What was the moment when you knew you were in trouble?
See, I'd already been spoiled for the presence of the red-haired woman to begin with because of the social medias. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't it. It was the longer the conversation went on, the more it was like, oh, mm-hmm. okay, this isn't just going to be... I couldn't remember the word for gut punch, so I called it an emotional jump scare. Which yeah. is about the same
yeah,
thing.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's not just an emotional jump scare. Oh, we're here. Oh, we're in it to win it. Oh, this is most of the episode. Oh, no. So it wasn't a moment so much of a downward slope.
Yeah. I just really love the term emotional jump scare. For me, once the conversation started rolling, I started to get teary-eyed. But the moment that broke me was Samantha Ireland's delivery of "We love you," and I was like, ugh! And that's the point every single time I watch this episode since that makes me cry. Stacey,
mine was just a little bit sooner than that. So it was the tears welling up through the whole conversation, right? But as soon as Ren and Nora show up, mm-hmm. and they all kind of gather around, and they just have this big, profound moment, it was just. Game over.
Yeah.
I'm going to echo the chat here. A lot of people are saying it, and it was the second I saw it, the leaf. The first leaf that sort of led Jean to there. But yeah, Matt Dixon, the leaf. Mecha Soundwave, the leaf. Pookie Lucy, the leaf. Erica Jackson, Jordan Odell. Everybody is saying the effing leaf. Yeah. A lot of people. So. A
couple of people are saying when Casey started singing, which,
yeah.
legit.
Fair yeah. enough. Yeah, it's yeah, yeah. it's a very somber song, talking about love. You know, some people find the love of their life. Some people never get it right. You're my forever fall, and it's fine, it's fine, it's fine.
No, go
Wasn't
on.
Wasn't that a song written about, like, their father-daughter relationship?
Was I don't
that,
know.
Am I remembering that correctly?
I don't know. It's just making me cry.
I don't know.
What are you watching me
cry?
I mean, I think this was more of a Mark question because Mark tends to know these things.
Oh,
like a
oh,
lot
in terms
more
of
than
the lyrics?
I do. Yeah.
No, this one was an emotional roller coaster to the point where I just I'm letting it sit for a little while.
That's fair.
Like all of the music moment that got me was in the first segment of the show. And if we want to use that as a transition, oh my god, oh my god.
Yeah, oh my guys, god, are you actually?
I'm actually crying. It's okay. No, for
Let me, get the
I
Kleenex
think the,
out of my purse.
No, I'm good, I'm good.
BG Titan Avatar says, All Our Days is the song that you're talking about, Kate.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for knowing more than I do.
Yep. The bit that keeps getting me this season and when it comes to musical motifs is the different iterations of the theme incorporated into the score.
Yup.
Yes.
That the way it comes in at the end of this episode, I'm just like, it makes me want to throw my fist up in the air and go, yeah!
What? Jesus Pando says, I'm not crying. I just had Pyrrha's ashes in my eyes.
Too soon, my dude.
It's like Neri. Whenever someone dies, she shows up with a bottle of ashes and so-and-so's ashes written on it and gives it to the creators. Happened with Doyle. Happened with Pyrrha. It's a running joke that I love because it's so terrible.
Y'all should be ashamed of yourself.
Solid oof. Solid.
Like, woo.
So guys, before we dig too deep into the episode, we have a quick announcement for all of you AfterBuzz fans.
Yes, we do, AfterBuzzers. We know some of you are joining us for the first time, so welcome everybody. I know Nightfall01 is one of the folks joining us for the first time. There are a couple of other folks. Make yourself heard. Fun, cool, fun, fun, I think, was one of them. But there's a lot of people joining us for the first time, and we really appreciate it. We've got over 100 people watching live, which
Whoa,
is a pretty,
hi,
pretty
everybody.
Solid number for the
hey,
show.
Y'all.
Make sure you subscribe for more, and I'm going to tell you why you should. Our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi. There's no network that works harder to serve television and, in this case, animation fans. But we need your help. We are asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channels, YouTube will suggest content that is tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be. They are optional. We would really appreciate it. Actually, case in point, last week we had a little bit of technical difficulties, and by hitting the bell, you'll know if, for instance, we have a two-hour delay when we go live again. So that bell will help you out. We're hoping, of course, not to have technical difficulties. It was a one-time thing, but it will help you out in cases like that. So hit that subscribe button right now for AfterBuzz TV Animation, this channel, and check out all of our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did in the comments, and we will thank you on air. But for now, thank you for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV Talk.
Y'all are the best. I highly recommend the Sci-Fi Channel for all of you superhero horror fans and stuff like that. Z Nation just wrapped up, and we might be doing a series recap, so be sure to subscribe so you know when that goes live.
And also definitely subscribe to this channel as well, because three of the four people here are on the Voltron After Show, and that sure did just come back for season 8.
The last one.
The last one.
Do it. Okay, so let's...
I'm gonna ruin this for everyone. TMNT Country Dragon says, Jean, I don't feel so good.
Yeah. Again.
He's like, what the fuck?
Thank you.
Thank I feel you like so the much. Only thing that, the only other thing I would have loved there would have been Shut Up, Redman.
OMFNG, you see.
Yes! Yeah.
No.
We need that on the soundboard.
We gotta get that on the soundboard. So guys, before we get into like the emotional heart of this episode, let's talk about some character backstory. Ooh. Okay, so this episode opens up with Emerald and Mercury. And Mercury is just kind of like, yeah, I guess sparring with himself. He's just trying to keep up with his workout regimen, I guess. Mm-hmm. And Emerald is at probably the most conflicted she's ever been. You know, without Cinder there, she doesn't feel like she has a place. This is where things sort of get into a heated discussion with Mercury. And we find out a little bit more about kind of what he's doing here and about where he came from. Mark, what did you think about finding out about his dad?
What a demon. Like, it was kind of story vomit, but that was fine. I mean, we had a 25, 26 minute episode that was eons of story. So to get, hey, this is why I'm a bad guy, was absolutely fine. But the perfect accent to it, as you mentioned before, was the little reminiscent cue of I'm the One, which is one of my favorite Ruby songs ever. And to get the song already is a bit of a fight. You think it's the two of them coming at you as one, but it's the song sort of predicted this, the culmination of these emotions to happen. And I love that we got it. I absolutely love that we got it. And there's a theme in it that I want to bring back around at the end.
Ooh. Yeah. Stacey, did you think that this was going to escalate to the point of an actual physical confrontation?
No, I don't think, or I didn't expect an actual fight, because I think that Emerald is still very conflicted, and without her having made up her mind one way or another, they're not going to have, like, a truly big breach. But this was definitely the first, well, and the first that we've seen of the fact that they're not really on the same page. They're not in it for the same reasons, which we suspected but weren't really sure of until now.
Katie, what did you think about finding out about his real motives here?
Oh my God. God bless. It's always nice to see someone who just kind of Kanye shrugs at things and then goes along with them. Like, that just felt right. My dad made me a murderous bastard like him, so guess I'm just gonna keep doing that. Cool, great, whatever. But the whole, we're gonna be top dogs in Salem's New World Order. I'm pretty sure she's trying to cause the apocalypse, so, no, you'll be dead. Like, no, you won't. And God bless everyone in chat saying, so Mercury's dad is all for one? Because that's exactly what I said.
Yep.
He's horrifying.
If I'm reading the subtext correctly, he is in fact El Rey, yes.
Voiced by the same person, it's fine, everything's fine.
I wonder if it's a hereditary, because we know about semblances that get inherited. I wonder if they're not necessarily an all for one, but something similar to where I'm going to take that for a little bit. And because there's very specific rules there, it seems.
Yeah.
But it was a very interesting scene. Only made more interesting.
Speaking about that and that particular power, something, you know, I just sort of assumed that we just hadn't seen Mercury's semblance up until this point. knowing, though, that he doesn't have access to whatever his semblance was anymore, I think that actually, like, looking back, I see him in a completely different context, because everybody else has sort of a superpower to fall back on. Knowing that he doesn't, it's kind of amazing that he's made it this far. And granted, that's not to say that, you know, he doesn't have enhancements. He does have robot legs. But I'm looking at him completely differently now that I know that he's basically an evil Rock Lee.
Well, and it really makes you think about, like, I'm thinking about his dad. Like, all right, his dad was an assassin. Think about that power. Most people fight with their semblances. They integrate it into their combat style somehow. And, hell, we had an entire season about Yang learning not to lean on her so much. Think about it. If your opening move is to steal their semblance and completely throw them off balance, the rest of it's easy pickings.
Malachroma brings up a very interesting in chat. It's still crazy that someone has a semblance stealing semblance. If semblances are linked to auras and people's soul/slash personalities, who the F was Marcus Black to have that kind of a semblance?
Satan himself.
I just got chills.
Just genetic lottery winner Marcus Black. Mm. Yikes.
Right, is that completely randomized then? Like, this guy just happens to be able to steal semblances or lock them away or something, or however it works. And, you know, that's randomly?
Putting it in the context terms of, as Malachroma says, an extension of your aura. Yeah, this guy can basically steal part of your soul. You know, Mercury might have been doing the world a favor by murdering this guy.
I'm gonna go with that. We're pro-murder. What happened?
I am anti-all for one, is all I'm saying. All right. I'm not pro-murder. I'm just against him being alive.
Hmm. I'm pro-murdering all for one. Let's be real.
Certain circumstances. No.
But this sort of skirmish gets interrupted by Tyrion, and we get to see his sort of upgraded look. Everybody's getting makeovers in this episode. Stacey, what do you think about Tyrion's new look?
I love Tyrion. I love his absolutely unhinged look. Like, he's one of the most fun personalities, right? to me, at least, as a character. And so now he has this absolutely wild tail. This mechanical wonder that is just horrifying. And he's back to being good old Tyrion.
I think it suits him pretty well.
Oh, yeah.
Do what you love, children. I beg you.
Oh, Mark, you look like...
Yes, Hero 75 brings up a very interesting thing, going back to the whole father-son love dynamic. I read it as his father cut off his legs because his semblance had something to do with his legs.
That's possible, but then you have to wonder about the... Well, I'll give it back when you're stronger.
Yeah, I'll give you your legs back. From what we saw
in the flashback, Mercury was outside a burning house with his legs missing. So I kind of assumed that missing both legs was a result of that last battle with Dad. Hmm. I mean, that's my assumption, and it makes Marcus all the creepier if he can actually steal semblances. Like, that's just what I assumed with the "I'll give it back." Like, are you keeping those on ice? How are you? What?
Totally reasonable.
Maybe he had like Quicksilver super speed, and so yeah, he took his legs and was like, "You'll get them back when you learn how to work without them."
I mean, Mercury is kind of a dead giveaway of his origin story. So,
And like, doesn't that sound like a Magneto move?
You're going back to Quicksilver. I was going Roman God Pantheon.
Okay. Yeah. Who's his equivalent in
Hermes?
That makes sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I was sort of picturing. I'm like, yeah, would he have like little wings on his feet? Like, talking about it being tied to his feet.
Yeah,
maybe
they have to go.
They just gotta go.
Ridiculous.
I am not buying you custom shoes. But Tyrion here gives them what I didn't really expect, and that was career advice. Like, if you don't love what you're doing, you're in the wrong field. Mark, do you think Tyrion should continue to give career advice? Because he seems to have some nuggets of truth in there.
I don't want to know where we go from here. Because, like, you can't take those out of context. If you write them on a placard or in a book or whatever, it's like, oh, a nice chicken soup for the Scorpion Man's soul.
But welcome to my TED Talk.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what my TED Talk. I should go to Atlas real quick.
There's
no!
Ted. He's no longer talking. Ted is dead.
I killed him.
It's a Tyrion talk now.
That's his true life ambition.
Nobody cared, Ted! Ted, oh, he's dead!
I'm having fun.
We have fun here.
Yeah.
But that is sort of something we sort of have to take into consideration is, one, they're not fanatics like Tyrion is. And as we see here, Mercury's only here because he's rolling with the punches. Emerald was only here because of Cinder. And as he points out, Cinder probably doesn't care about either of them. So it's interesting because he's basically made it very clear that they don't belong here, but if they try to leave, it's gonna be curtains. And he and Watts take their leave and they're heading off to Atlas, which makes me wonder, do they have a direct route to Ironwood? That's what I'm concerned about. Katie, you look like you saw something funny in the chat.
I did. Charles Hockenberry calls them Tyrion's dead talks. Yes. Yeah, it took a minute.
Yes.
I loved it.
Inspiring.
On that note, what do you think?
Or you'll be dead.
What do you think? I'm concerned about this particular choice because Watts and Tyrion have such conflicting temperaments that I'm like, in what sort of mission would they be good teammates? And I can't really fathom a scenario in which they would be good teammates.
Good cop, bad cop.
And Watts, you mean bad cop and terrifying cop?
Well, by comparison, anyone is good cop next to Tyrion.
Good cop, bad cop, but Tyrion's good cop.
This is like bad cop, but even worse cop.
It's always the quiet ones.
It is. But yeah, and honestly, Watts can probably keep Tyrion on something resembling a leash. And also probably threaten to take the tail back.
Well, I guess the last time he went out alone, he failed. So he needs a supervisor. Stacey, what do you think?
I would imagine almost, you know, chaos is a distraction while Watts works behind on something, you know.
That's fair.
More stealthy.
He's like, Tyrion, go have fun. Dad needs to go to work.
Set you loose for the day.
Just hang out in this park.
Here's $10. Have fun.
Get some ice cream.
The part we didn't see off screen was Watts putting the child harness leash onto him for when they get to Atlas.
He's got like those play pens for when they're in their, yeah.
The tail has a longer reach than the child leash does.
No, you gotta get one of those retractable ones. So you can control the length. You let them run for a little bit and then you stop it.
I'm just imagining Tyrion.
Well, I also wonder if, like, Watts has a particular remote so that if Tyrion's getting too out of hand, he can just turn the tail off or even just completely incapacitate him.
Mm-hmm. That'd be nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just had the same thought.
That would be extremely useful. Before we move on, do we have any final thoughts on Mercury, Emerald, and the sort of coming storm that is Tyrion hitting up Atlas?
This felt like a sibling fight where they would have worked it out okay on their own until the crazy uncle that nobody likes stepped in.
Yeah, that's fair. And as funny as it is to imagine Tyrion giving job advice, that was directly as a threat to me. I think he sees Emerald's indecision and is like, go ahead, leave. Do what you love. I'm begging you. What he gets to do if Emerald turns tail. Like, he would love that.
He's like, oh, it would make my Sunday. Mark, any final thoughts?
No, I'm good.
All right. Before we move on, I want to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes. Folks, thank you so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you. And it's the best way to let our producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on. Keeps the lights on, helps keep us at this fancy desk here. And guys, we like giving you guys a shout out on the show. We don't have any new ones this week, although sometimes it takes iTunes a couple days to update. And of course, we have an international audience. We want to see what you guys have to say, even though we don't have direct access to that. So take a screen cap, put in the hashtag RTReviews, and we will give you your shout out.
And really quickly, since we don't have any, I went to last week's show, and I'm just going to thank Inferno Firesword, Sean Waity, Erica Jackson, Direwolf Zero, Robert Foley, Shadow Angel, Paula Ronald, Eric Schneier, Jesus Pando, hey, what's up? Dan Omega 215, The Skyheart 5, Kendall Peterson, Bethany Harris. Thank you very much for leaving comments on last week's video. And also, we have a couple of other places that you can find us specifically online, and I'll just run through them really quick. Twitter.com/TheRoosterTeam. We have a Discord now. We started that last week as sort of a whim, and it's been really fun talking to everybody this week. Let me see if I still have the link, and it's in chat. We also have tpublic.com/TheRoosterTeam, which is where you can go and support us via merchandise. We've got a Break Their Leg shirt that's a skull and a Nora skull and crossbones. And also, if you want to listen to our secondary podcast, Welcome to Vale, go to anchor.fm/TheRoosterTeam. That's where we're putting any sort of secondary audio and things like that. But if you don't know what Welcome to Vale is, if you're a fan of Welcome to Night Vale, figure it out. It's a parody of Ruby and Welcome to Vale smushed together. We've all put a lot of work into it, and we're always working on new episodes. However, our regular jobs do take some precedence, so we haven't been able to get to it in a little while. But if you show us support, if you go listen, if you tell your friends, if you get the word out there, and it helps sort of drum up this support, we'll be able to spend more time to do it. So make sure to head to all of that stuff, and head us up on Twitter @TheRoosterTeam for all of those links and more.
Yeah, and one of the things we did is while we were waiting to go on the air last week, we had a quick little discussion that we did on Periscope, and that's now on our secondary audio channel.
I called it Technical Difficulties. Guess what song I used?
Again, we can't say thank you enough to everybody for sticking with us. You guys are the best, and we love you. All right, so our crew is hard at work looking for Oscar. And we have this scene where they're kind of wandering aimlessly through the city, trying to find him. And this is where we get an interesting discussion when we have, you know, a good chunk of the characters know what's actually at stake. But then we have Jean's sister, who is still completely out of the know, and she's trying to lift their spirits a little bit. And I wanted to get your guys' sort of gauge on this, because to me, this was just a reminder of, like, you know, somebody trying to give good advice, but really not understanding what you're actually going through. Because the stakes have been raised so much knowing the truth about Salem that, like, hey, get your license and help out around here just seemed so trivial, even though it came from a really sincere place in her heart. Mm-hmm. What did you guys think?
I thought that when she... So what did he do? What is that? All of that put everything into perspective. And that did a little bit more to help Jean sort of snap out of it than... the rest of it did too. But it was a good starting kick in the pants of... Yeah, you held a child by his scruff.
You did a bad... Shame on you.
Not great.
Stacey?
Yeah, I agree that it definitely kind of gave them that jumping off point of the, oh, this is the difference. This is the difference that we are trying to make. Like, yes, we could just, you know, throw our hands up, back away, and stay here and continue doing what we're doing and become heroes in that right. But once you know, no matter how upsetting or hopeless it seems, that was kind of that kickstart for them.
It's so hard watching Saffron try and care for her brother and his team when they're obviously upset. And there's just like, she's trying. She's doing her best with what she knows. And yikes. It's just hard to watch.
Yeah, it is. Again, it's one of those things where, again, you know, this person means well, but there's not really anything that you could do or say at that point to make the situation better. And on top of that, like, I love what you were saying, Stacey, in terms of, like, this is really good setup. Because so much of, like, this, the reveal that we got has highlighted sort of the futility, or the, what you could argue is the futility of Pyrrha's death. And so having that sort of conversation is a really good setup for what comes next, once Nora and Ren peel off to go get hot chocolate, and once Saffron leaves to go pick up Adrian. And that's when we get it. And that's, as Mark, you said, when we should have all known that we were in trouble. That leaf.
Well,
and that
especially, pill. Like, it's the dead of winter. Where the hell is this leaf coming from?
It was so out of place. Like, you're just, oh.
Suspicious leaf.
Autumn's over. What are you doing?
Oh, poor choice. Poor choice of words.
The city, the city and whatnot was still in bloom, though, when they came over the hill, and it was a whole different season. Like, the fact that there were leaves didn't ping me. The fact that it was that specific leaf was like, all right, here we go.
Mm-hmm. And so Jean follows it, and he's led into...
What happens, Megan? Tell us what happens.
He paints with all the colors of the wind.
Megan, tell us what happens, Megan.
He follows it and is led into a park where he finds a memorial to Pyrrha, which is something that I have been wondering for the past couple seasons is... How, I mean, she was a famous person before coming to Beacon. She was on cereal boxes. So I was kind of wondering who all had been made aware of her departure, because, you know, communication systems are down. Did anybody even know that she was gone? And if people, anybody outside of her immediate family, like, I had absolutely no clue. I was like, does the world know that Pyrrha is dead? Because, like, that's really upsetting.
That also adds the idea, when did they find out? How did they find out? Did her family come to the tournament? Oh. Were they in the stands when she did what she did to Penny?
Like, maybe.
What's that? It's, you know, we talk a lot about the family, but, and this is also, it's essentially like a track meet. Was the Vital Festival. So I can't imagine them, especially with how big and encouraging they were to her as a child, that they weren't there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yikes. It's one of those things where I've also wondered, you know, whether or not the global perception of Pyrrha has changed, because the last thing they saw before telecommunications went down was Pyrrha destroying Penny.
Becca Lodges said that in chat.
Yeah. So it's like, was she still considered a hero? But clearly tales of her bravery at the fall of Beacon at least extended and, you know, for whatever the world might have thought of her when communication went down, she died a hero. And, like, the fact that she's been memorialized, it was oddly cathartic to know that at least the world still saw her as a hero. But it's also kind of bittersweet, too, because she always hated being up on a pedestal. So it's both wonderful and also still really sad.
That also goes to show, but in real life as well, who are these statues for? They're for the living, to make them feel better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, as Jean approaches it, that's when we see a mysterious red-haired woman voiced by Jen Brown. So guys, we're going to play a little game right now called Who the Fuck Is That?
What the fuck?
Not the game you were expecting, was it?
No, not the game you were expecting at all. Mark, who the fuck was that?
When I watched the episode for the first time and I heard the voice and I saw the face, I said out loud, Mom? Like, how can it not, like... In one way, shape, or form, whether it's an apparition, whether it's a vision, whether it's whatever, I had theory on that. But what it... But,
yeah, this is theory time.
But it's... So two things, I'll try to make them as quickly as possible. If it's a real person, it's got to be Mom. I wonder if... Was it last season or the season before when Ruby found Jean training with Ruby or with Pyrrha's videos.
Volume 4.
So that was Volume 4. And that was sort of a, we're hearing voices of the dead, blah, 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 blah. What if that was a misdirect and now Jean is actually starting to see things and hear things like Joan of Arc does? And it's just real set.
Ooh, I got goosebumps again. Yeah. Stacy, who the fuck was that?
So I still firmly think that it's Mom. However, I do think there is something to the visions, especially with that bright red leaf going around. So I do think there's something behind him being guided there, and something to that lore. But I would like, and probably for my own closure, and like for my own needs, that was Mom. Like, actually, physically.
Katie, who the fuck was that?
That's a real good question. We're going to do a little bit of parade raining. Please clap. In chat says, Jen confirmed that the red-haired woman was, in fact, a living person and not a ghost or a hallucination. Throw a link to that in the hashtag, please. That said, I still like the ghost theory, because she just disappeared. Like, it's like either that or she's a horror movie serial killer, because the camera looks away from her for a hot second, you turn back around, and she's gone.
She said it on
Michael
Twitch.
Myers.
She said it on Twitch. Please clap, put a clip in our chat. So
again,
check that
please,
out.
Please, someone please put that in the hashtag, because the chat doesn't stay, but the hashtag does. The hashtag is forever. We have that on a shirt.
No, we have the hashtag never dies on
the
a
hashtag
shirt.
Never dies. That's right. Regardless. Yes, it's on a shirt. So please, in the hashtag, so we can see that for our own dang selves. I still like the ghost theory, especially with the added Joan of Arc layers. Otherwise, yeah, probably Mom.
I had many thoughts when this woman popped up. The first, of course, is Mom. But then when she disappeared, I was like, ghost of Mom? But then I watched it again, and there's a part of me that wonders, you know, obviously, you know, what Jen says, she's confirmed that it was a real person. But there's still a part of me that goes, well, was it actually Pyrrha's spirit just manifesting in this form to tell him what he needed to hear?
I had that thought as well. I also thought the time that we see may not be the actual time that there was. What if Jean, quote-unquote, blacked out, didn't, like, pass out, but what if he just... Because also, we've all... Well, I'll say this colloquially. We've all stood in a long coffee line.
Yeah.
Do you think a cafe at peak hours, they could order 3 things and be done in a minute and a half, 2 minutes, and pay and wait and all that stuff? I think Jean may have been there a lot longer and was it was less of a, hello? I'll just go. And more of a, all right, he's heard all he's needed to hear and then just left.
It's also possible that, you know, if this really was a real person, that she has a semblance where time dilation is possible, or she can just teleport or turn invisible when she gets really emotional. Because I can definitely see she started crying and then he turns around and then turns back. She's gone. The flowers are set down, though. So I can totally see her going, like, I'm just gonna go, and just, like, turning invisible and... piecing out. Or I kind of also love the image of her just jumping into the bushes because she's like, I've got something in my eye, and just running away.
I mean, and if it is Mom, we all know that moms can teleport on a whim.
Yeah.
That's just a mom power.
They also have eyes in the back of their head.
Exactly.
Like, it's just a magic. It's also possible older sibling, or even potentially a cousin, like, because Pyrrha having trained in Argus, you could definitely argue that she had, like, that there was some family there. I have plenty of family members who have traveled to go to school to different places, and they traveled away from home, but they traveled to where family was. So it would make a lot of sense. So, and then we get to the part that, like, breaks me down every single time, which is Nora and Ren coming back. And him apologizing because he feels like he's been a bad leader. And this is, again, the emotional heart is just Nora going, stop. You can't keep doing this to yourself. We love you just like we loved Pyrrha. And this is something I really, really love, because so much of the show has focused on Jean's feelings and his grief about Pyrrha. that we don't often consider how Nora and Ren felt about losing her, too.
I do. Generally, but I understand.
This was the royal way.
The royal way.
So I really appreciate getting this moment to sort of, for the remainder of the team to come together like this.
I mean, you've watched one person die, and then you're watching another person just going through this, she should be here and not me, it's my fault, and what can you
Survivor's
do to stop?
Guilt, yeah.
Exactly. And there's always that worry of, we're going into some super dangerous situations, and if he's acting like this, he could actually die. We'd prefer that not to happen.
Right. Well, and especially since we've always seen, at least from an emotional viewpoint, we've seen Ren and Nora as a unit. And we always had Jean and Pyrrha, and then Jean. And so we've seen him kind of making emotional connections with other places, whether it's Ruby. And we've had a few small moments where we see the whole team come together. But it was nice to reinforce that and to view them all as an emotional unit together, because they are. And, you know, we should explore that more.
Yeah, we get little moments of it here and there, but this was something really great. And this was special.
Very special. And as somebody, for people who are new to the show, go back and check out all of the other coverage that we've done of previous seasons. Somebody who has been very wary of Team Juniper being relegated to the sidelines and the back lines now that Team Ruby is back in, quote-unquote, better than ever. Emphasis on the upward inflection.
So, better than ever?
So
alive?
This episode really put a lot of my thoughts to bed in that, no, this entire family is going to be, one, hopefully growing, and two, is going to take the fight to our devious, devious witch.
The wicked, wicked witch in that western region.
Really quickly, somebody put a really mean theory in here.
How dare.
Let's see if I could find it. Somebody, I'm sorry I lost it because everything is going so fast. Thank you very much to everybody who's been commenting. We really appreciate it. Somebody went, there it is, happy neurotic. Wait, could it be Neo with a voice modulator?
Huh. I don't think
probably
so.
Probably not, but that's a mean theory. Very mean theory, but we appreciate it.
If it was, what was her end game here?
She wants them all back in top shape before she takes them down?
Before she's like, I want you all to emotionally be content when I murderize you.
It's a psychological experiment that didn't work.
You're not the one that I want to shank with an umbrella. You get to live.
Hey, I lost a redheaded friend too. I'm right there with you, buddy.
Ginger's in the show, man. Ginger's in the show.
She's actually really helpful when she's not trying to kill you.
I love that theory, but I'm gonna go ahead and throw it out. I don't think
that's right. Yeah, no. I Jesus Bando just going, Neo doesn't talk though? How dare you let your logic get in the way of our fun.
Modulator that is set to Jen Brown currently.
No, it's set to Lisa Lavender.
What's your favorite?
What?
I don't know, but I love
Hi.
It. It was a good,
it's okay,
good
we appreciate
guitar.
It.
I was going to make a what's your favorite scary movie joke, but it's been preempted. And now the news.
So do we have any final thoughts on this sequence before we move into the final part of the episode?
Nah.
Just All of the tears. I promise I won't cry anymore.
Dying
right.
Whale noises.
I promise I won't cry for the rest of the after show.
I was going to say, any more? Don't make promises
ever
you can't
again.
Keep.
I have no more tears to shed.
Look, you didn't cry when she died. You could cry now.
What a terrible thing you have put out into the world. I mean, this is a very selfish thing, but if anybody from the writer's room ever watches this and hears that and goes, oh, really? let's see that if that theory has any water.
That wasn't a challenge issued. Oh, my goodness. Don't say challenge
accepted.
Somewhere, Mild Luna feels a tremor in the air and goes, it's time.
I've been summoned. Well, he had a tweet today where he gave a really emotional performance for a role that nobody would expect. So.
Oh, I'm sure it's camp.
It's, maybe.
Ooh,
well, I don't know. I would kind of expect that at this point.
Has he voiced anyone in Nomad?
No.
No.
I don't think he has.
Not that we know
He's
of.
He's the Nomad.
Break out into a big
surprise. The Nomad takes off the hat and reveals David underneath. But no, to get back to this show, we go back to Saffron and Tara's house, and Crow is asleep on the stairs.
He's passed out on the stairs. Asleep let's be real.
Like, I'm not trying to be too judgmental. We've all taken a nap on a set of stairs, I'm sure.
Indoors.
But, yeah. There's a certain, like, indoor-outdoor sort of aspect to that. So they pick him up, and they take him inside, and Oscar's there with some new threads. He looks like a proper huntsman now. He's all grown up.
Fia just gave me my favorite observation of the night.
What's that?
Oscar comes back from stress shopping and sees Crow passed out on the stairs, walks by and shuts the door. And someone, before we even started, made a comment about Oscar stealing Crow's wallet to go shopping. So I like the idea of Crow being passed out on the stairs and Oscar opening the door, pickpocketing him in broad daylight, going shopping, coming back, and leaving him on the steps.
That was the one moment where Oz came back.
Like, just gonna sidestep around this, which makes sense. I feel like Oz has ignored Crow's alcoholism for a long time.
Well, and it took Jean, 8 hours to apologize, and that's because we couldn't find Oscar for most of those time. It's been a solid 48 since Crow punched him in the face and he said nothing. I feel like this is warranted.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead first.
I was just gonna say, like, I'm picturing the shopping modeling montage that Oscar went through. Like,
terrifying.
He walked into, like, one of those places where they give you your own, like, attendant, where they're like, oh, no, this will not do. And then he gets a little montage, and I loved it. But really quick, I wanted to give a shout-out to Janice
Acevedo? Miraculous Corazon.
Yes, yeah. Miraculous Corazon. Shout-out because, oh, my gosh, they made a great observation about Oscar's new outfit that they put into the hashtag. If you look closely, he's got belts near his shoulders on his upper arm. And I just sort of looked at that. I was like, oh, okay, you know, belts. I was thinking it's kind of a Kingdom Hearts aesthetic. But if you look closely, Ruby also has belts on her upper arm. So Oscar is emulating a huntress he looks up to.
And everyone's got crosses, and now he's got a cross on his upper back.
They're all nobodies. That's a deep dive.
Wrong crosses.
Yeah, anyway. I hope that this leads, as much as people are shipping them, I hope this leads to, like, a respect relationship of Ruby sort of being the new elder, so to speak. But also, because Jordan Odell brought it up in chat, imagine Crow drunk in bird form. We got art of that from Malachroma. Make sure to check out the hashtag, hashtag RT reviews, because it should be in there. If not, we'll retweet it.
Mm-hmm. And then we get what, for me, is definitely a big highlight of the episode, which is Ruby finally giving Crow what for. Because
thank God.
He was, like, the worst person to hold a brainstorming session. You know, those, like, okay, there are no bad ideas. We're just going to see, like, what we can come up with.
They're all bad ideas.
Jean throws something out there, and he goes, no! And that's the worst thing you can do in a brainstorming session. So shame on you, Crow.
Yes, and...
There are no bad ideas. You just gotta throw
Except
them out there and see
yours. It's just, yeah, no, and I mean, he's given up, and on one hand, like, I get it. He's had the rug pulled out from under him. He's had terrible self-esteem for years. He believed in Oz. Most of it's been a lie. Like, I get that he is in a terrible place right now. You are the adult on this team full of children. Can you at least attempt to maybe try to pull yourself together well enough to be the adult on this team full of children? Like, on one hand, I get it, and on the other hand,
I think this final scene shows that Ruby's the adult here now.
Oh, yeah.
And Annabella Q says, I'm the only adult here, and I'm not an adult!
I need an adult. I am an adult. adult? No. No, you are not.
No. Actually, adult.
I need an adultier adult. Well, I am the adultier adult.
We are just about out of time. So, guys, final thoughts on this episode as a whole. Mark?
One of the best they've ever done. And unfortunately, the one... Actually, I don't... You don't necessarily have to take the whole journey because the fact that they come up to a memorial can mean that Pyrrha was somebody very important to all of them. So you don't necessarily have to have all of the backstory of following, but it definitely helps. But this my thing was, these were two of the same scene told in a completely different way that had two completely different results, with Emerald and Mercury's not going well, but them both sort of dealing with a loss, not loss, but a loss, and it being super destructive and not the right environment, et cetera, versus the right environment and people handling it well. I really enjoyed this one, and we're on a quick journey till the end, man. We've only got a couple weeks left.
Both teams are directionless, and it's cool seeing how they both react to that. Mm-hmm. I like that. Mm-hmm. Stacey?
Yeah, it was a great parallel and a great episode. And seeing Team Junior like getting back into the swing of things and fully being bolstered and ready to move forward. And then seeing Ruby give herself enough credit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aww. I love that the idea here is that we're going to go full Mighty Nine and steal a ship. Like... I love that's what Jean went for. There are probably 15 other plans, but Grand Theft Auto, let's go.
It's the only logical step.
This was such a good episode. So many different parts, all of them fitting really well together. Fantastic character moments. Like, yes, just yes. We didn't need a big action set piece to have a good Ruby episode.
Yeah. I agree with you guys. One of the best they've ever done. Another special shout-out to Miraculous Corazon. She did a side-by-side comparison of Oscar.
That's amazing! Go ahead, you're making the call.
Of
I'm just
Oscar
reacting.
And the Little Prince.
Yeah. The cover, it's almost the same thing. That's amazing.
Yeah, comparing his new outfit to the cover of the Little Prince. So, cool theory. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us tonight. Katie, where can people go if they want to keep up with you?
You can follow me all over the social medias, as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. If you like reaction videos for these sorts of videos, they live there. I also do unboxing videos for fanversation.com, and I'm on an Overwatch League podcast called On The Point.
Stacey.
As I'm Stacey Shevels, you can find me all over the web at Stacey Shevels. You can also find me over at Twitch at InventoryFullPT. From the gaming team with Mr. Mark.
We should probably stream something. you can find me on Twitter at MRP Donica. Wrestling streams at the Wrestling Professionals on Twitch. If you like theme parks, go to Party of Two, anchorfm.partyoftwo. That's where I do a theme park podcast with my wife. Join our Discord. The link's down below. You can find that link and others at The Rooster Team. Support us at tpublic.com/TheRoosterTeam, anchor.fm/TheRoosterTeam, where you can listen to Welcome to Vale and more. We've got some fun stuff coming to there as well. We're doing a lot, and we need your support, so please follow us at any place that we're sold or give it away for free, so that we can't be sold in the future. But thank you very much. That's all I got. Yeah.
And I'm Megan Salish. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at The Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. I also do a Lost retrospective podcast called No Love Lost, where my co-host loves Lost, and I don't. So thank you guys so much for watching. We are your Rooster Team, and guys, remember,
dust you later!
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.